You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
We are back with the top 25, under 25. We're talking to near misses. It's Patrick Bexell, it's Anton Rosgaard, and we're looking to, if you look at this list now, and you obviously have the list in front of you as well, Anton. It seems like there are this section where people have fallen out of favor and some players that might be on the trending on the way up.
Oh, for sure.
There are two plateaus in this section as well. And yeah. I'm not looking at points or average ranking or anything, but it looks to me that way. There are some that are on the rise and some that are on the way down. And then unfortunately, Jan Mišak is one of those players that is on the way down.
Yeah, I wouldn't be fast to write him off completely, considering he's only 21 and just turned 21. He played his first full season with Laval. It didn't go as planned, but there's still potential to Jan Mišak's game. It just didn't really work for him last year. And considering what many players may need a full season to get accustomed to, get accustomed to playing pro hockey. But then again, he's played pro hockey in the Czech Republic, well, Czechia, for several years before coming over. So, it may be that Jan Mišak's top end, his potential isn't as high as it was considered before draft. And he will just have to be a role player, middle six, if it becomes middle six in the AHL, or if he cranks it up and becomes a really good player for the AHL, then maybe he can contribute something at the NHL level still. But yeah.
I think his creativity is not really there. Obviously, he's a leader.
Yeah.
We know that. The old management looked into character players, leaders, etc., etc. Jan Mišak is that.
Yeah, he's a smart player.
He's work ethic. Smart. Well, he's smart on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Of the game, but he's not as astute.
No.
In the offensive kind of game. And the problem is the prospect pool is getting deeper. You're gonna get those that combines these two elements in their game, and it probably means that Jan Mišak is falling a little bit out of favor. There's always been that discussion: is he a center? Is he a winger? I've always said that I think he's going to end up on the wing. He can't really manage a power play. He does contribute a lot on the defensive end, where he does work on the box play. He works hard. He reads the game well from that point of view. Lovely guy. I hope he proves everyone wrong. But he's one of those guys that I kept moving down on my
rankings. Yeah, me too. No, it's also like I ended up with him in 37th just because, I mean, you had him at 25th. So you still were the high vote on him. But, you know, I had a hard time seeing how he would get sufficient minutes to continue to develop. Since with the new players coming into Laval, like Joshua Roy and Riley Kidney and Emil Heinemann playing his full season there, it's just not a lot of spots for
It's on the fourth line, and how much are you going to get there?
Exactly. So then you have to become a Michael Pezzetta kind of player and be ready for that gritty fourth line type of role. And I don't know if Jan Mišak's, even if he's a hard worker and everything, I don't know if his game is well adapted enough to function only in such a limited role. Yeah, limited role.
Yeah. I think
he's a middle six player somewhere, but I don't know if he can actually get there in Laval this year.
I think he's a middle six player in Europe and probably not in SHL.
Yeah, probably.
But he will have a hockey career.
Oh, for sure. He already has one.
Yeah.
And he has a good reputation from being both in the OHL with Hamilton
And leading the Czech team to in the World Juniors.
Exactly.
I asked some of my Czech sources in regards to would he have been able to be picked for the World Championships as well. But they were like, he didn't have an extraordinary club season. And as they pointed out, we had enough role players in the Czech team already. So what would you do with another one? He doesn't have that, which points to the fact that even in Czechia, they don't see him as that player with a high-end talent.
No, exactly. And that is the problem. You don't really see what Mišák adds that is tantalizing in his game. And if he can't then be a facilitator for the other players on a producing line, like Josh Anderson, for example, you know, that power forward type of role. I mean, he doesn't have the size or the sheer physicality for it. Yeah. So it's just difficult to, as you say, like he seems like a role player, someone who plays complementary minutes. And yeah, what Laval and in the future Montreal needs are more... we have a lot of role players already. We need those high-end kind of players who can change a game.
Indeed. And speaking about high-end players that can change a game,
yeah,
Mathias Norlander, a fall from grace a little bit. Still, I think last year was a step in the right direction again for Mathias. He got used to the North American game. He maybe didn't get those chances to play, like lead the power play, play the in the offensive zone to the same degree. But he was asked to do a more defensive role, and I think he did it in a very good way. On the other hand, I don't think he translates well to the North American game as much as I thought he did a couple of years ago.
Now, I think the problem is that there's less space, obviously. And since he has so much
and the confidence issues that he struggled a bit with, it seems, at least from afar.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Laval to speak with him and Emil Heinemann in April, and what he spoke about was that he was just happy to get consistent minutes and being not injured. So being healthy and getting minutes and feeling that he developed his defensive game, but then he also agreed that he has more offense to give and he hoped to be able to deliver this in this upcoming season. So as I spoke to on the previous podcast, it can be very fun if he finds that element of his game, the transition game, where he can take the puck from the defense and just, well, skate it in the offensive zone and using his his great stick technique. It can be fun to watch him and some of the other offensively gifted players like Nicolas Baudin and Miguel Tourigny and obviously Logan Mailloux playing together in Laval. But yeah, I had, where did I end up putting, I had him at 36th, so just ahead of Jan Mišák, and that's basically due to increased competition from other players and the fact that he's now 23, so he's one of the older players on the list. I want Mathias Norlander to succeed. Nothing would make me happier, but at this point it's difficult to see his road to the NHL.
I think there was an online discussion we were having about his projection, and at one point he said he's going to be a either that kind of player where you can build an offensive side of a defense around, or he's going to turn into an Erik Gustafsson kind of player that plays, you know, power play specialist, plays on the fourth line on the third pairing, being the extra defender every now and then, and that's where I think he projects right now.
Mm. Basically what you in the NFL would call a gadget player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the, will he have a hockey career? Undoubtedly.
Yeah, as long as he stays healthy, obviously.
Exactly. The one thing that speaks to it is head injuries. He's had quite a few concussions already. And I hope he takes care of himself in any way. We've seen what head injuries can do down the line for players. Mathias, great kid, and if we have to remember as well, we haven't spoken about him yet, But there will be three Swedish players that probably group together and create a quite harmonious group in Laval this year. If unless Elias Andersson actually takes a roster spot in Montreal because of his contract, where you can send down Heinemann to start the season in Laval and bring him up later. But I think, you know, it's Heinemann, Andersson, and Norlander. They can be very good. I think they can be very good for each other.
Yeah, it was really fun to hear the banter between Norlander and Heinemann when I sat down with them, because Heinemann had already, he had only been there for about a month at that time. And Norlander was saying that he previously hung out a lot with Jan Mišák, and Mišák was now getting annoyed because of Heinemann coming in and Norlander and Heinemann speaking Swedish all the time now. So he felt left out. But then obviously he got Jakob Dobesch, so he could speak Czech to him. So we have two duos of European prospects that can help each other out. And as he said, Elias Andersson comes in now. He's only 24, but he can be a kind of a dad for all of them, as he's been through a lot in his young career. Yeah. So he can be a veteran presence on a very young team. And I think that's valuable for all four of those guys. Well, Jakob Dobesch is obviously a goalie, but just having someone there who has lived through it and been both in Europe and in North America and seen how everything can go down, I think Elias will be a great addition just in that case. And I think Norlander needs...
He needs to feel comfortable.
Yeah, he needs stability around him.
Exactly.
I was surprised that he was so... I was expecting him to be more reserved and more maybe...
Northerner.
more like a quiet guy from the north of Sweden. But yeah, he was very vocal and he seemed to feel very comfortable with Emil Heinemann as well, which is great for both of them going forward.
Yes. Next on the list is Xavier Simoneau, playing in the queue.
Yeah,
putting up a lot of points, continuing play, putting up those kind of points in Laval.
You have him too low, Patrick.
Yeah, I probably have. Yeah. What do I have him at? 55.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that. I'm not that far off though.
I had him in top 25. I had him in 23rd.
Yeah. The thing is, as a center, I expect, you know, he seems very defensive minded. I would want to see some higher goalie production, goal production from him, not goalie production. That comes at a later level in life, I think. But yeah, for me, that's it. And then obviously the -8 speaks a little bit to it.
Well, he has -8 in his height column as well, since he's only 5'6".
Yeah.
So that's obviously another thing. Obviously, that is something that...
How many 5'8 players can you have in a team? Ask Montreal in 3 years' time.
Yeah, I was going to say, Theo Fleury is the only one I can think of who was 5'8 and made an impact in the NHL.
Well, Cole Caulfield.
Well, he's 5'7".
Yeah.
So. No, he's not 5'8". He's 5'6". That's
all right,
problem.
Yeah.
So Xavier Simoneau is 5'6", and so was Theo Fleury. But I don't know. I believe in X-Men. There are several X-Men on the Canadiens team right now with Jacky and Mayu. But Xavier Simoneau, I was just surprised that he delivered as much as he did for the Rocket. As we said, taking the step from the Canadian Hockey Leagues and going up to play in the AHL can be difficult, as we saw with Jan Mišák, who is obviously a much higher ranked player who was drafted in his first year and was considered by many as a first round pick. And then we see someone like Xavier Simoneau, who's 5'6", and he was an overager, and he just delivers 38 points, a lot of them assists, and 81 penalty minutes, which also speaks volumes to the kind of game he plays. He's just ferocious. He just plays, he's very intense to play against, and he plays bigger than his size. And
yeah, but so did Miguel Tourigny, and I think sometimes you need to prove yourself. I get that, especially if you're a small player. But on the other hand, is it worth those kind of minutes that you put your team at the disadvantage?
No, obviously you're like the best thing would be if you were physical, but didn't get penalized all the time.
I think in some ways, you know, I don't like plus minus, but I think the one taking the minus or taking the penalty should get an automatic minus if there is a goal scored on that power play.
Yeah, just for sure.
Highlight that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because so you're obviously penalizing your team. But the other
four on the team doesn't need to get one, but the one in the box should get one.
Yes.
Looking forward, and this is where I feel the need to defend my ranking a little bit. I am tired of Caden Primo being touted as the next big Canadian goalie. I ranked him very, very low. I waited for this explosion of the skills for a couple of years now. It feels like he's been around forever.
He was drafted in 2017.
Yeah. And the fact is also what I was thinking when I did my ranking, and I had him at 48, 49, something like that. Yeah, 49. How much is a goalie worth on the trade market? If you get a fourth round pick, you're happy.
Yeah, especially if that goalie hasn't established himself at the NHL level yet.
Yeah,
we got Samuel Montembeau on waivers, right? So
there is obviously going to be, let's say every team has what, two goalies in each of the teams, right?
Yeah,
so that'd be like 96 players in the top three, if you count ECHL as well. But I mean, like
128, I think.
Yeah.
If it's 32 in each.
Yeah. So it's a limited exposure. You got a lot bigger chance. So there's going to be a big, much bigger competition to get those minutes. And if you haven't, I can be proven wrong. We've seen it with, you know, Ullmark this year. We've seen it with Montembeau this year. We've seen it with a lot. Goalies can mature overnight somewhere in the middle of their careers, and that's fantastic. But my ranking for Caden Primo was because he's been there forever. I have not seen, except for a playoff run, I have not seen him perform at that level that I expect and taking those steps forward that I need to see.
For sure.
That's why I have him so low.
But having Joe Verbeek at 37 and then Caden Primo at 49.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Verbeek will have a more impactful AHL career than Caden Primo has had. Caden Primo is a remarkably consistent goalie at the AHL level. He's basically at the same save percentage every year. I'm not saying that he's a high impact player, but I definitely think that if Montreal doesn't re-sign him in 2025 when his contract is expired, because he got an extension, then someone else will be happy to pick them up and have him as their at least 1A, 1B goalie.
Yeah, yeah. But this is what we say about European players as well, when we talk about they can go back to Europe and have a great hockey career there. So I'm not saying he's going to be a crappy goalie. I just think trade value, development, everything combined, I was just tired. I put
bloodline. He's the son of Keith Primo.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
And without that bloodline, I'm not sure he would still be here.
No, like I think that Caden Primo is he's annoying in the way that he can have extreme highs. He can be really good, as he was in the playoff run that almost saw Laval get to the Calder Cup finals. He can also be completely, if he starts a game on the wrong foot, if he, for example, lets in one of his first shots, it seems to get to him and it seems like he can't really get over that, and then it's just downhill from there, as we've seen in a lot of games when he's been up in the NHL. He has trouble adjusting himself positionally, and it just means that it can be very annoying to watch him for a full game, because it looks like he's a deer in headlights, basically. And that kind of works when you're 20 years old. When you're 24, you kind of want to see more maturity, obviously. Then again, that was also kind of what we were saying about Samuel Montembeau a couple of years ago. And now we see Samuel Montembeau being 26, 27. And the last year or so, he's been a different goalie. Maybe it's just the fact that he's become more well, that he has more self-confidence, that he has actually had a chance to play consistent minutes at the NHL level. I don't know. Obviously, it's difficult for Caden Primo as well to, you know, be bounced back, well, back and forth between the AHL and the NHL due to injuries. So it's difficult to one day play in the AHL and then the next day coming up and playing a completely different kind of pace in the NHL. Maybe he would be much better if he got the chance to play in a backup role and get 25 games in the NHL for a season. But then again, do you dare to take that shot? Do you see enough?
I'm just saying, you know, if this guy was named Anderson and being Swedish, he wouldn't be ranked as high.
I think he would. I think he would due to his collegiate career.
Then if he was Danish, then that.
Yeah, no.
Because then he would have gone, let go. You wouldn't have resigned him.
No, I believe they would have resigned him because you still need someone who has impressed at the AHL level, and Caden Primo has done that. You can't expect Jakob Dobish, for example, to come in and just start as a
no, but
as
we're
a
ranking
goalie.
Upside as well, and you know he has a long Dobish has a longer stretch to prove his
for
upside,
sure.
whereas Primo doesn't.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying, like, you need someone who is reliable.
Yeah, right now I can see that. But
yes,
I'm just saying, like,
but you said that
value,
they wouldn't have resigned him, and I think they would, even if his name was Anderson. I don't think that has anything to do with his name. I think that has to do with his excellent collegiate career, his playoff run, and the fact that he's been a 908, 908, 909 save percentage guy in each of the four last AHL seasons.
I've just explained how I thought, and I think I'm standing by that even now. There are others that I might be unhappy with in my rankings, but I actually stick by my Primo ranking. I think I've told you guys how I feel about it. I will obviously put it in the comments as well, so you can flame me there if you want to. I just don't see it. It's the same with some of our guests that we're going to have on later has been very vocal about the deficiencies in Primo's game, and maybe that carried through as well.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Looking forward, though, on the next name on the list is obviously a very interesting player who goes back to his junior club at the pro level in one really, really good league. And most likely, he will be playing next doors to a certain David Rheinbacher.
Exactly.
Vincenzo
and I wrote that.
Rohrer in going back to Zurich Lions and playing in the Nationalliga. Very, very good league. Again, if he can grab a role with the Zurich Lions, I think that speaks volumes. It would be a new coach, Rikard Grönborg, has left Zurich, and I think that's very good for Rohrer. Grönborg plays a very systematic kind of play, almost counterplay, and he hasn't succeeded with Zurich. It was time to part ways. I think what he has done well is to help build up the youth organization in Zurich, and Grönborg moves on to Tappara, if I remember correctly, and going to obviously build on one of Europe's best teams. It was the Champion League winners last year. They won the Finnish championship. Very, very good team. Be interesting to see how he succeeds with that. But I think this is a really smart move for Vincenzo Rohrer, going back to Europe, going to a really, really good professional league, to a really good club where he might be able to take a middle six role and develop there.
And an environment he already knows, since he's been brought up in the Zurich system. So it's not like he's just traveling to an unknown destination and has to compete without knowing what he gets into. But obviously, Zurich wouldn't want him back if they didn't see big potential in him. Still, it doesn't mean that he will get an automatic opportunity to play in the National League, the highest tier. they also have a team in the second tier, and obviously a U20 team as well. So we'll see where he ends up. But Rohrer is a fascinating guy. He's so young. He's born in September 2004, so he was almost eligible for this last draft now in 2023. And he's also one of those guys who just, he's up in your face all game long. He's a little bit undersized at 5'10", but you know when he's coming, and he just plays more physical than you imagine for someone his size. And I think he will be a great role player at the if he gets a chance in Zurich, because I think he can play those middle 6 minutes or a complementary piece on one of the higher on a top line, and just be someone who facilitates for teammates who are more line mates who are more technically gifted. He plays mature for being just 18, and he's been a good producer for the Ottawa 67s as well. I wrote that in the Near Misses article as well, that it's great for him to have Rheinbacher just 10 kilometers away in Kloten, because it means
it's a tram ride away.
Yeah, exactly. It's only a tram ride away. So just the fact that they are both Austrian and they're, you know, the same age, and Rheinbacher went through what Rohrer is going to go through now just 1 year ago. So the fact that he will be able to have someone in the Canadiens organization to ask for help if he needs it is perfect.
And also it's going to be easy for the Canadiens to track them down. You know, you take the overnight from Montreal to Zurich and take the tram wherever you want to go. You don't even have to rent a car. So fantastic city. Go visit, especially if Rheinbacher plays there this year, which I think he will. I think the this weekend the news has been that it's NLA, National Liga, or National Hockey League. There is nothing in between. There is no, he doesn't want to go to the AHL. And I think that's a smart move for him. Build up. Obviously, we're going to talk more about Rheinbacher when we come to his point in the top 25, under 25. And I'll spoil it. He's not in this show, so he will make entry on the list.
Yeah.
But William Trudeau, another one of those high point defenders, is going to be on the blue line in Laval this year.
Yeah, he has deserved his chance on the power play. It was basically Justin Barron left for NHL duty, and William Trudeau was just, you know, he was originally considered to be more of a defense first shutdown kind of player when he came into Laval, but he's shown that he can be much more than that. He is a consistent player in all aspects of his game. He can add some offense. He is reliable defensively. He is he's someone who can play a very impactful role, I think, this year with Laval. And he's also one of those guys who just transitioned very smoothly from playing junior hockey to playing in the AHL. And once he was inserted in the lineup, head coach Hull couldn't really get him out of there anymore. So William Trudeau was a really impressive surprise for Laval, and I think he can build on that going forward as well.
Again, yeah, great chance, great opportunity. I think yeah, the blue line is going to be stacked in Laval. I mean, the whole Laval team is going to be stacked. Let's be honest with that as well. Going to be super interesting. A guy that could probably move up into the NHL with a bit of leeway and success. We're going to leave it there and go to the next guy on the list.
I could just say about Trudeau as well that 1 year ago I had him 41st on my ranking. He ended up, what was he, 30th? Or he was 32nd, 32nd last year. I was obviously completely wrong on him. It's just impressive to see what a guy can do when he gets a chance to shine.
Indeed. And I think the more and more I think about it, the next name on the list is probably the most underrated prospect in the whole Montreal Canadiens prospect.
Yes. Yes, I think so too.
He should have been on the list. But at number 26, we got Oliver Kapanen, and I'm part of this problem, I think. because I haven't been very high on him. I've compared him a lot to Lukas Veidemo. This is what I hear from some of the Swedish scouts as well when I'm in the arena talking to them. But also, I need to say this, like, if he was born 6 weeks later, he would have been eligible for this year's draft, right?
Oh, probably 2022, right? Yeah, because he was drafted into 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2022 draft.
Yeah.
And then we had a guest on this spring. Timo told us a little bit more of an analysis, an in-depth analysis of Kapanen. And I really took that to heart. I have him at 20. I think I probably should have ranked him even higher.
Bloodline.
We go back to that. And I joked with some of my Finnish friends on Twitter yesterday and asked, are Kapanens allowed to pick up any other sport than hockey, or do they have to change name first? You have to start wondering, because his kid brother is coming up in Kalpa as well now. But Oliver Kapanen finished the season, as Timo told us, he finished the season as a first-line center in a Liga team that went into the playoffs. And as a, 19-year-old?
Yeah.
So
he turns 20 today, the 29th of July. So
So that is incredible. There is not many centermen that leads their team in the playoffs and in the last couple of games into the playoffs, because that they are good. If they lead the team because they're injuries, that's another thing. He earned that spot.
And it's not only that, as you said, like, he was the captain for Finland in the World Juniors as well. So where
he took the role player kind again.
Yeah.
Because I think, and on the other hand, he finished, was the third in rookie scoring in Finland because he hadn't played 18 games this season before.
Yeah.
And so he was eligible to still be a rookie. But I think the he didn't showcase himself in a bad Finnish team, shall we say that, in World Juniors. He led it, though. He led by example. He didn't get the offensive output that we might have hoped for. We might have undervalued his role in Kalpa. But this is a player that probably should have been higher up and definitely on the top 25, under 25 rankings.
It also says something about, you know, the amount of prospects there actually are who have legit NHL potential now. A couple of years ago, you would have guys who were future AHL top sixers would be ranked in the top 15. And now you have guys like Kapanen, who was a 0.5 point per game player in one of the best leagues in Europe. As a 19-year-old
league as well.
Yeah, exactly. As a 19-year-old ranked outside of the top 25. But I'm also impressed with the way he's handled this season, because if you look at last season, he had, well, a combined 21 games in the U20s, combining the playoffs and the regular season. He had 16 games with Kalpa in Liga. Then he was loaned to Kärpät for 2 games. Then he was loaned to the second-tier Mestis for IPK for 8 games. It was just, and then he played the World Juniors and international games with Finland U20. But it was just like a lot for Kapanen to just transition into. And this year he was in the Liga team for Kalpa the entire season. And it really showed what he can do now that he's grown and into his environment.
The one negative thing I have to say is that he scores in batches right now. I think it's a confidence issue. I think it's also maybe Kalpa not being as strong. He performs relatively well, or quite well actually, again offensively in regards to smaller teams or worse teams. What I want to see this year in his development is to perform at a higher level in against higher end teams. He did his national service this summer, hence why he wasn't at rookie camp, which I also think impacted his ranking a little bit for a certain amount of rankers, and that's fine. We all rank differently, and you need information to rank. You see that with my rankings in some ways. But I think he will be at rookie camp. I think people will be surprised of how good he will be at rookie camp as well, and maybe change their rankings at that point.
Yeah, I also believe that just looking at the, it's interesting to watch the 2021 draft now, because you got Riley Kidney at 63 and Oliver Kapanen 64, which is really good value when you consider like how those players have played post-draft, especially when you consider, well, 1 year before that, you also had back-to-back picks and you selected Luke Tuck and Jan Mišák, who were highly rated prospects at the time, but haven't had the same kind of development. So, in fact, just the fact that Riley Kidney has played really well for Akadi Bathurst and like after trade as well, but Oliver Kapanen has kind of been, he has not been in the limelight as much, and people may have forgotten about him, but there is no reason to forget anymore. Yeah, and I think he can be a high impact player this season in Liga.
And going back to it, Hardy has him at 22, and I have him at 20. Was I the high road on this one? No, it must be someone else. 19 at Dachmatic. So you know, I really think, looking back at this, I think I should have ranked him higher, and I'm still one of the highest ranking guys. Yeah. But I still think he deserves more credit than he gets. Season will be very interesting. Kalpa getting a new coach, but something to build upon. He must be going in with a lot of confidence, and having a summer, I think this would be good as well. Having a full summer in Finland, not having to, so where he's sport athletes in Finland and Sweden gets a little bit of an easier way into the national service. You do it, but you also get time to train and practice and work on, which is good for the army as well, obviously, do some physical stuff. So it's all, you know, I think it will have benefited him rather than taking, as someone told me about Jussi Ilonen when he went over, it took him about 10 days to get back into the practices with the team after he had been away to North America. So yeah, it's just different. And I think this is probably the guy to keep an eye on in Europe, along with you know, the usual suspects. But this one will be one that I will keep an extra eye on. And I think the Swedish streaming services that I use for SHL now has acquired the rights for Liga as well. So there will be a lot of hockey here. I'm not sure my fiance will like that.
Yeah, I understand her.
This is Anton and Patrick. We are super happy that you spent this time with us, and we might agree to disagree on some of our rankings. I think I'm happy to actually enter the full ranking now, to the real rankings, the top 25, where we will be back with a three-player episode on Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for participating, Anton.